Welcome to the AI experience from basics to breakthroughs. I'm Sirte Pihlaja, your host, the CEO at Shirute and the CXP Finland head of team. In this series, we explore how artificial intelligence is reshaping customer and employee experiences, addressing the innovations, ethical questions, and strategies essential for navigating the world of artificial intelligence. Join us for this episode, and don't forget to subscribe to follow us on your favorite platform. Today, we're exploring the intersection of AI governance and innovation, focusing on how organizations can navigate the challenges and opportunities presented by artificial intelligence, while enhancing customer and employee experiences. As AI becomes more integrated into everyday business, understanding how to balance compliance, trust, and creativity is key to creating impactful and responsible AI solutions. This episode aims to unpack actionable steps companies can take to align their AI efforts with ethical practices, enabling positive transformation in CX and EX. But first, let's meet our guest. I'm delighted to welcome Iiris Lahti, Head of Services and Customer Success at Sidot, a leading Finnish AI governance company. Iiris is a seasoned expert in AI and data, with a passion for helping businesses implement ethical and trustworthy AI solutions. At Sidot, she supports organizations in developing governance frameworks that ensure safe and effective AI usage across diverse industries like media, healthcare, and government. With her deep insights into responsible AI practices and her hands-on approach to fostering innovation and through governance, Iiris is uniquely positioned to guide us through this complex but exciting landscape. We're thrilled to have her with us today to share her expertise and practical advice for companies embarking on their AI journeys. Welcome, Iiris, on the show. Can you start by telling us a little bit about your background and how you got into AI and data privacy?
Wonderful. Thank you for the invitation. Yeah, I think I have quite of a practical background to the field of AI. I started my career doing financial analytics and later analytics consulting at Accenture, then moved on to the quite an interesting assignment to help media organization Sanoma to transition from this very like a paper and linear TV heavy media company to a digitally enabled AI enabled organization. Then for 4 years, I ran as a co-founder AI and data freelancer agency. And now for a year now, I've been working at Sidot, focusing now on responsible AI and AI governance related work.
We're so glad to have you with us today. But those of our listeners who have not yet heard of Sidot, would you like to briefly describe what it is that you do and how that helps companies starting their journey as an AI-first business or help them on their way?
Yeah, so Sidot has been founded already in 2018, so obviously before this big Gen AI boom. We are rooted into this very inspiring mission of enabling responsible AI with efficiency and a sense of easiness, and if that you can ensure your AI compliance with a platform that we have built. It basically has two sides, Sidot Library and Sidot Governance. Sidot Library is an extensive AI governance related knowledge base, including information about AI policies, risks, models, and their performance evaluations. And then Sidot Governance is a place where you can create your AI inventory, manage AI related risks, and also meet the compliance requirements coming from the different laws, such as the EU AI Act. So yeah, we basically have this platform to enable easy access to all AI governance related information and also do the actual AI governance very efficiently.
Very good. AI is transforming how companies approach CX and EX. From your perspective, what are the most exciting opportunities AI offers in these areas?
Well, I think in creative field, we have seen amazing solutions for generating images, generating audio, even videos with high quality. So I think it's great source for inspiration and also efficiency. Well, and then we have to remember that we have used machine learning and these more traditional AI solutions for a long time to deliver personalized customer experience and recommendations and all of that. When I was working in the media industry, we did that, but just with in-house data science teams. But they haven't gone anywhere. Like we still can aim to do that just with a more wider selection of tools. There can be chatbots created with much more efficiently, virtual assistants supporting automation of certain routine tasks, and thus focusing us humans to do more value adding work, not those routine tasks. With employee experience, there's also a lot of great opportunities for the use of AI, but looking at the AI Act, there is also high risk levels associated. So, for example, using AI in selecting the applicable candidates for specific job ads, using it in recruitment, you always need to make sure that does that system classify as high risk, and therefore, what is your responsibility to prove your compliance? So, with employee experience and HR-related things, you need to be more careful. But it doesn't mean that there aren't inspiring opportunities. So, just more demanding. Sometimes I think when we are in this Gen AI boom, we forget that there is actually quite a long history in using AI and developing AI in various organizations and industries. For example, in the manufacturing industry, in media industry, developing traditional machine learning solutions and embedding those into products and all of that, it's become sometimes we forget that there is this other side of AI as well. The whole like a linear development of having first only the opportunity to develop in-house algorithms, then exploring this like a new field of Gen AI and the conversational user interfaces, then going into products that have the UI and the model in the background, and then going into ERP systems and CRM systems that have these AI-enabled features in those products. So I think there is sort of like a transition of bringing AI closer to where it's actually being used and to the operational systems. And that might bring scalability to also the way AI is being used.
I think you're so right with saying that everybody currently thinks that Gen AI equals AI, but we've had AI in many of, and machine learning specifically in many of the systems that we are so used to utilizing, like, the Amazons, the recommendation engines, the navigation systems, all of that is already been existing in our lives for so many years. Now I think that what we are really, really hitting is the agentic AI, and I'm so thrilled about it myself.
Me too. And it's actually challenging also a little bit of how we think about, for example, AI systems, that actually we are talking about AI-enabled components, AI-enabled features, AI agents, things that do, for example, traditionally, thinking a few years back or even nowadays, when you have typical RPA functions doing robotic and process automation. So it's basically doing that, but with AI, or that you have, for example, in CRM systems, these small things that you can automate or do more effectively with AI that is embedded as a feature in an existing product. So that's quite inspiring, and that's probably the way how AI could be scaled. However, the challenge is that with these components, the AI value chain is quite long, because not necessarily you understand what was the model, how it was trained, what kind of product was developed, how does this feature work. Can I actually implement human oversight in understanding how this feature works and what the risks might be? And also with agents, there is this question about ownership. So who takes the ownership of making sure that the agent works as it should be working and does what it should be doing? And what is the ownership of the platform providing the capability to build that agent, compared to the one who is actually building it, compared to the one who has built the model that is working in the background?
Yeah, that's a whole discussion in itself. But coming back to AI governance, could you please define it in why it is critical in today's landscape?
Very good question. So, with AI governance, I feel like when entering more specifically into this world of responsible AI, I was a little bit struggling myself, to be honest, with the term, because every time you use the word governance, and we all know who have been working in data governance projects, that there can be a little bit trauma trauma involved, that it's something very slow and bureaucratic, and it's like taking away all the joy from the innovation. But what we're really trying to do here is to have a clear guideline, a working model that how do you enable fast AI time to market with good governance. It means having a clear policy for your organization into what are your specific guidelines in how you're using AI in your organization. Having this ISO standard-based lifecycle model, first initiating the idea, then designing and developing, then approving it for deployment and so forth. So having like a clear model how you're governing your AI systems in every lifecycle stage. And you can do a lot of good governance already when you're still thinking about the idea, not that far even with the planning. Then there is obviously alignment needed to key corporate processes, starting from data governance and data management, procurement and managing the third-party AI products, doing risk management, and also doing compliance management. We're talking about the alignment with more traditional and established privacy practices, doing like analyzing compliance and proving compliance with GDPR, doing DBRs and so forth, and now suddenly also needing to prove compliance also with the AI Act. And so it's more about understanding your existing corporate processes and how they work and how this AI governance can be embedded to those practices. And then it's obviously also about roles and responsibilities, tools and resources, and setting the documentation standard to prove transparency of how you're using AI across your organization.
Wow, that sounds like a lot.
It sounds like a lot. I this is something that I experience a lot with my clients. So my role is basically to help out organizations to take AI governance into use. And when we go this whole framework through, like these are the things that we need to do. Trust me, this can be also squeezed into one really dense PowerPoint slide, so it's not that much, but it feels a lot. But then when you get go to the Sidot platform and you get to experience what this end-to-end AI governance means, and you have the knowledge base to support you in identifying risks, and you have off-the-shelf templates that you can use to prove compliance. You have the step-by-step guideline what to do in every lifecycle stage. You have a library of models that carry certain risks that helps you to analyze those. So usually, some kind of like a magic happens with the client. In the client interface, that they feel like, oh, we thought that this was a lot, but actually this was relevantly easy. So that's why I encourage to always consider using a product and a knowledge base such as Sidot in doing this, because otherwise it could be quite overwhelming.
That sounds very much like the eating an elephant piece by piece kind of approach. What would you suggest as the first practical steps that businesses, especially smaller organizations, could take to align their AI governance with existing corporate structures while they're preparing for all of this compliance with regulations like the EU's AI Act and such? And specifically, how does maybe Sidot help companies navigate this EU AI Act and other regulations? I heard you had a Microsoft partnership just announced, so we're interested in hearing a lot more about
So I
this as
think a
well.
lot of organizations who are looking forward to maybe at this moment doing the bare minimum is that there is certain transition periods that are ending. And the first transition period that is ending is the 2nd of February, where you need to comply with the AI literacy and requirement, and also make sure that you don't have prohibited AI practices in place. So this has caused a lot of organizations to think about, oh, okay, so we need to first make sure that we are educating our people of the how to use AI responsibly. So that's the first step. There's a lot of trainings. For example, we are offering these basic AI literacy trainings and also helping our customers to use the library as an AI literacy tool. But the second is to create an AI inventory. And it could be like the minimum level at this point is that you have described your AI system, its context, the model that you're using, the data that you're using. And based on that information, you can analyze your risk level. And obviously, AI Act is one that is contributing to the risk level. But based on the industry, there can be also obviously other things that contribute to as AI system being high risk under your specific circumstances. But if you're looking at from the AI Act's perspective, the most important is to make sure that in this AI inventory that you don't have prohibited AI practices in place and you have a plan how to eliminate those practices if you have such systems. And then the next step is when you have that inventory in place and you have done the risk classification for all the AI systems to do the right size governance. So for all low risk systems, it's not necessarily needed that you start doing very detailed risk management for those systems. It might be just enough if you accept that there are certain risks involved, but it doesn't require that extensive attention. But for the medium and high risk systems, it's also good to start practicing this ongoing, very operational, very concrete risk management for your AI systems, meaning identifying the kind of risks that are associated, analyzing the risk, the inherent risk level, which means that what is the risk likelihood and impact. And also, if the risk is higher or lower compared to a situation when AI is not being used, and then analyzing what are the concrete mitigations that you could do to reduce the risk level. And then, after the mitigations, what is your remaining residual risk level? So, this is obviously needed for the high risk systems. And then the transition periods of AI Act for the high risk systems are also approaching, and then you need to prove that you have this risk management in place that is aligned with the ISO standards and upcoming harmonized standards, and also the way AI Act is requiring you to do risk management for AI systems.
I'm really glad understanding all of these AI risks is very important to improve customer trust and employee confidence when using these AI-driven systems. Can you maybe please elaborate on that?
Oh, yes.
Why we're so keen on understanding those risks?
Yeah, so obviously there are different levels. So you could take the like a compliancy approach that you just need to do risk management to be compliant with AI Act and other regulation. And second aspect is that what I have experienced with our clients is the sense of empowerment. So when you are able to, as an AI developer, you're able to do analysis of the kind of risks these specific AI systems that person is developing is carrying, and you have ability to create actionable treatment plans for those risks, you're kind of like empowering yourself, and you have the knowledge base available, risk register, this risk library that we offer there to support you, that you have risk recommendations, you know the kind of risks that are associated with these type of AI systems. And you have that empowerment that I can make a great plan. I can go to my legal department or procurement department, and I have a plan how to mitigate these risks. I know what they are. So it also brings that confidence in using AI, knowing that you're doing the right thing, not just for yourself, as a developer, for your organization, sometimes also for the society, that you're using AI for good, you're doing that in a responsible manner, you're not doing something wrong. And removing that fear, removing that uncertainty in using AI, I think managing risks has a lot more potential than just proving your compliance. It actually is also a way to empower AI teams to do good with AI and do it responsibly.
Transparency is often also mentioned as a key to
Yeah.
building this trust with customers and employees. How can companies design AI solutions that are both effective and transparent at the same time?
Oh, that's a very good point. We actually work with a few governmental like institutions. So, for example, Scottish government is one of our biggest customers, long-term customers. So we facilitate this AI register where they try to explain to everybody living in Scotland that how the government uses AI. So they have this AI register. Helsingin Kaupunki actually has a similar one that has been also developed on top of our platform, explaining to everybody living in Helsinki that how does the city use AI. So opening up your principles of responsible AI is one thing. I have noticed that during the past years, a lot of organizations have published in their websites these AI policies and principles for responsible AI. The challenge with those is that they are not necessarily giving concrete guidelines to everybody working in the company that, well, how do I, what happens next? What do I do on a concrete level on everyday work? And how do I transparently then explain the concrete use cases and systems that we are using? And therefore, we might see in the coming years some kind of like a trend of opening up how your organization is using AI, especially for those organizations that take these responsible AI themes really like with care.
When implementing AI for CX and or EX, I think we've established that governance is important in AI. What do you think that companies should prioritize in their governance frameworks apart from these couple of things that we have been discussing already?
AI inventory, coming back to this transparency theme, I think it's a very useful tool in also increasing the visibility across the organization internally of the kind of AI systems that you have across the organization. And the bigger the corporation and the more siloed corporation, the more important it is to create that visibility across the entire company. How do we use AI? What tools are allowed to be used? What tools have we have tested before? How they have worked for different cases? What is their performance? Has somebody already done a risk analysis for this same tool? Can we use it despite of knowing all these risks and so forth? So reducing kind of the uncertainty, but also increasing understanding and knowledge of how we as a corporation, as a company, are using AI safely, and sharing also great ideas, great inspiring innovations across the organizations to others that, yeah, this marketing team found a really nice, responsible way of using image generation. Maybe that could be applied to some other areas as well. So this inventory is very, very like a concrete tool to improving that.
So it's almost like a library of design patterns as such to help with.
And also what the other thing in developing governance, and coming back to your earlier question about the our collaboration with Microsoft and this these automation and integration features that we are currently developing and soon deploying to the product, we also believe into this trigger-based governance, that it should not be something that you just when you're deploying a solution, you do like a long list of compliance actions and risk management actions, and that feels like endless amount of work. But it's something that you do in every life cycle stage, bit by bit, and it's trigger-based. So when you as an AI developer have completed your risk analysis and it's ready to be reviewed by your AI governance body, or you have filled out the evidence how to prove your compliance with AI Act, and you want to review it with somebody working in your legal and compliance team. So it's also something that helps the whole organization to collaborate in this AI governance. And sometimes we AI governance is basically a practice that requires a lot of cross-functional collaboration. And if you don't have a tool how to do that, it might seem like a lot of meetings and discussions and things that are not documented well enough in various systems. So, understanding the mechanism and also really being really clear about the roles. So, basically, facilitating these three lines of defense idea that you build the AI ownership into the AI development teams. You have clear ownership of every AI system. And that's the first line of defense. But then you also build the support structures from risk management, from compliance, and various other these support functions to help out in that process. And then obviously there is the internal audit and all of those belonging to the third line of defense. And having a clear governing body that then can facilitate decision making around the tools that you can use, the risk levels, and helping out the AI system owners to do AI governance effectively and with high quality.
Who would you say typically are in charge of AI governance related projects? I recently read this study that said that it was the state of AI, I guess, in the States of all places. But anyhow, it said that typically it's like the CEO in 30% and the CMO in 30% of companies. Is that what you have been experiencing so far?
No,
Or is
especially
it more
in large.
a more technical role, maybe?
So if I think of like a really perfect example, for example, we are collaborating a lot with Yle, and I think Yle is also going to be visiting this podcast later. So for Femina Mustakallio is like the perfect example of having a, like somebody who is leading the responsible AI as a practice and as a function. And having that like a centralized leadership to drive that initiative across the organization is something that really helps a lot. So assigning that responsibility to somebody who has management level support and responsibility is a really good place to start. I have seen this AI governance, responsible AI leadership being assigned to people who used to be responsible of data governance. So that's kind of like an extension to their existing role. I have seen it being in the data science analytics team, so CDO, Chief Data Officer, having the responsibility to drive that forward. We also have clients that take more of that compliance and legal perspective. So maybe there is somebody from the compliance and legal team assigned to ensure the compliance with AI Act and then also drive the AI governance practices forward. What I think, what I haven't seen that much is that organizations that have a lot of AI use embedded in the business operations that would have somebody in the business driving this forward. And I think it's a little bit of a shame because AI governance and responsible AI is also a way to do good business. It's a way to, build trust with your customers, do sustainable business decisions. For example, not focus on AI systems that carry too much risks because you are wasting resources when you're doing that. And managing your governance related work, it's a business decision. So I would like challenge everybody who is listening to this podcast or the business leaders to really, start asking questions about the organization. Who is leading this responsible AI practice? Who is developing our AI governance model within our organization? And if you don't find anybody, maybe considering taking that role yourself and starting to really drive this forward as a business leader as well.
Oh, that's going to be a big competition. I think everybody should jump on board. What would you say is one unexpected benefit businesses have experienced from adopting these strict AI governance measures?
Well, typically at the first, they're thinking about, oh, this is going to slow us down. We're like losing this momentum with our AI innovation projects. But what they then notice is that AI time to market is increasing because we have clear guidelines how to identify the risks, and we have the certainty that we can deploy with safety certain AI tools. So increased AI time to market when you're doing governance is something that a lot of people who haven't yet entered this journey and haven't done it with Sidot is that they are not expecting to see. And we always recommend to set clear measures for measuring the success of AI governance. And those are quality, speed, and coverage. Quality, we mean that you're actually meeting the requirements coming from the standards, coming from the law. For example, having risk management in place and doing all the related compliance actions. With speed, we obviously mean this AI time to market, so speed from initiation until you're approving that system to be deployed. And with coverage, we mean what was previously discussed about the AI inventory, that you are actually covering with governance all your AI systems. Your AI inventory is has all those AI systems that you have been initiating, you have been deploying in the inventory, and then you can do the right size governance. So basically start doing or focusing the actions of governance to the right places, basically the high risk systems in particular.
If thinking about practical advice for CX and EX professionals, what questions should CX and EX teams be asking themselves before adopting AI solutions?
If we think about the CX and EX use case in particular. So if you're working in EX, I assume that you're working in HR and you might have some AI systems that could help you out in recruitment or, you know, analyzing employee feedback surveys and all of those. And they have both personal data involved. And also you need to really carefully consider the AI Act, the definitions for high-risk systems, because employment recruitment-related AI systems have very high likelihood of ending up to this high-risk category. And then as a deployer of a high-risk system, you have certain responsibilities to prove your compliance with the law. And it's not like like many years ago, it was that you develop your own algorithm for helping out your recruitment. I haven't seen that active development in HR analytics across, for example, in Finland. So I don't know how many organizations actually did that. But then obviously there is this Gen AI boom, and a lot of EX people have probably experienced rewriting job ads, for example, with AI, and like doing that, like not that high risk activities. But now what we're experiencing, we have a lot of HR tools. Same applies to CX professionals using CRM tools. And we have a lot of AI-enabled features there. And there are these nice like notifications that start using Copilot, start using this feature, start doing this more effectively with AI, to be mindful of how these features, components, agents have been built in these systems, and having open discussion in your organization that have we actually went through the terms and conditions? Have we made sure that it's safe to use these AI features? Is there a safety also if they have access to personal data, and that these models that are in the background don't use the company-owned data to train the model? And having specific guidelines and specific instructions how to walk through those terms and conditions, and being mindful of not starting to use anything that is has not been approved in your organization. And I'm also hoping that these tool providers could be more transparent, and they also need to be by law more transparent about how these features work, so that you can get more information to make the company-specific decision about whether you're using those or not. So being mindful, having those discussions within your organization, and making clear decisions on what you're using and what you're not using based on the risk profile.
In essence, so what you're saying is that you're empowering people to use AI responsibly. I assume that that's kind of based on the fact that they have this AI literacy. They know what they're doing and what they're allowed to do, and there's a company principles on how to use AI as well. So I guess that's the whole point of making EX better with responsible AI.
Exactly. And also, like what I previously mentioned about this sense of empowerment. So, I would like to see some research being done about people working in developing and deploying AI in the organization, how much we can actually increase their employee experience, improve their employee experience with bringing this factor of safety into their work so that they can feel safe in using AI when knowing the risks, without having that much of an uncertainty about whether I'm doing something wrong or whether I'm not allowed to do this or whether this system is not allowed to be used in our organization and so forth. So I'm inviting also people to consider how to measure this effect of AI governance to employee experience.
I assume there's also a certain balance that needs to be between innovation and these regulatory constraints in artificial intelligence.
Yes.
How do you handle this balance
Oh, well.
so that you're not limited by the regulations from
Yeah.
innovating new things?
Yeah. So I've been using this, it's Finnish term called hiekkalaatikko, but it basically means
And
creating a
sandbox.
sandbox, creating like a safe space for AI innovation. So basically, if you just have every possibility in the world to use AI, you could basically do anything. But when you're working in a corporation that has responsibility to follow the corporate rules, has legal responsibilities, all of you cannot do everything. And the challenge with innovation is that when you don't know your sandbox, when you don't know the boundaries in which you are allowed to innovate, I think it also creates a lot of uncertainty that stops innovation. But when you know your sandbox, when you know the restrictions, when you know the kind of systems that you're not allowed to use or not allowed to develop, the kind of models that are not safe in your organization to be used, you free up a lot of energy for innovation. Because then you can, okay, this is my sandbox, this is my playground, this is where I can operate, and then start to innovate. So I think in the best scenario, it frees up a lot of energy for innovation. So they are always, should be always thought of as responsible innovation of AI.
I believe at the EU level currently they are looking into creating these sandboxes that would then help companies and organizations to kind of have this sandbox place where they can see and make sure that whatever they are developing is going to be then aligned with the regulation and such, but this is ongoing work, so it's not available quite yet. But we're going to be talking about that a little bit more in our upcoming episode, so I'm not going to go into that in too much detail right
Yeah,
now.
sounds really good.
Yeah, sure. I think that anyhow, there's many companies that claim that the European Union is currently slowing down innovation with all of this regulation that we're coming up. What's your take on this?
Well, we at Sidot, we are actually quite proud of how the AI Act, for example, clarifies of how to do AI responsibly. I have also seen a lot of my customers that we have tried actually really hard searching for the high-risk use cases in those organizations. So we need to understand that it doesn't set regulation for the basic use of AI. Yeah, I think it's sometimes a bit overestimated of how it's slowing down in innovation and the kind of things that it lists out to be prohibited. When you understand the things that are actually prohibited, you understand that it's actually pretty good that they are restricted. But we, as Sidot, we have, for example, experienced quite the opposite. So as an innovative startup ourselves, we have been building our business also on top of this, and just recently announced this collaboration with Microsoft. There was two companies on a global scale selected to be collaborating with Microsoft to provide this end-to-end AI governance experience. And we are one of them. So as this Finland-based small startup, there is a lot of growth happening for us,
Yeah, I think that's phenomenal. Congratulations on that success.
Thank you.
Data privacy, how does it intersect with AI governance in your
Oh,
work? Can you maybe elaborate on how responsible AI aligns with GDPR and other privacy-related regulations?
yeah. So, when we start working with our customers of aligning the industry best practices of AI governance to the existing corporate operations, this legal teams and existing corporate compliance practices is one area where the alignment needs to happen. And typically the situation is that since the GDPR came into force in 2018, there has been quite established practices of doing the basic like analysis of data privacy and meeting the requirements coming from the GDPR. And what I have also noticed that a lot of legal teams are very heavily focused also on those GDPR and data privacy related questions. And then the challenge is that, okay, that's not enough. That's not enough if we just analyze the data location and make sure that we have consent and all of that. But we also need to start taking into account the requirements coming from the AI Act. So this is a challenge for a lot of legal teams, especially the ones that are really tied in resources. So the one teams that are just like one or two or a few people and already are handful of work with GDPR related things. So then what we call this democratizing the compliance work and empowering the AI teams to do also their share in the compliance work is one solution for that. So basically helping them to understand the specific requirements. AI Act, we have chopped down the requirements coming from the AI Act is 140 requirements. But if you think about your role as a deployer of a high-risk system, only 12 requirements have been included in the template that we have specifically defined for that use case. So really understanding what is improving our compliance, what is the relevant thing, improving your literacy in understanding the kind of requirements that are relevant, and helping out also AI teams and AI system owners to analyze and prove their compliance with these specific requirements for these specific systems. So it's all about providing them these tools where they can also do their share of the work. And then it's also a question about, okay, if you have done this impact assessment and analyzed that and done work in analyzing your GDPR compliance, so does that work cover the kind of use case that you're planning on doing with AI, where you're planning on, for example, training the model with this specific data set? And then if you have a privacy tool, you might have done that analysis in a separate tool. So then it's a question of how these two worlds can integrate and coexist, basically.
Okay, and I'm sure there's a way for you be doing that. If we go and think about the challenges next, what common mistakes do businesses make when they're introducing AI into CX and EX processes, and how can they avoid these? Or can you maybe share some common challenges businesses face when implementing AI governance frameworks?
Yeah, so I think it's two stories, how to encourage and promote the use of AI in the first place, and then how to implement AI governance and make sure that the use of AI is responsible. So sometimes these are like, it would be obviously better if we think about improving AI literacy, that we both improve understanding the possibilities of AI, inspiring people to explore the world of AI, but at the same time, clarifying what is the sandbox, what is the playground, what are the boundaries, and what are the rules for responsible AI at the same time. So I think it's sometimes needed that there is this certain phase where people can quite freely explore what is possible with AI, especially if there is a challenge that people are afraid and they're not like using AI that much, and you know that as a company, in staying or trying to be competitive, that you need to use AI. So then you need to have that phase where you're actually inspiring and encouraging people to use AI. And in that scenario, talking about risks and rules and laws and all of that, it might not help. But if you go any further in that journey, you quite soon end up having a bunch of questions about, can I use this tool? Can we deploy it in wider use? Like, has anybody checked the terms and conditions? You know, our existing procurement processes are not very well fitted into evaluating the risks of these AI systems. And then you notice that, okay, so we actually need the principles of responsible AI, the AI policy, basically. We need the governance model. We need some kind of like a decision-making forums. We need clear responsibilities. And yeah, then you end up building the AI governance model. But sometimes building the governance model might be hard if you don't have any experience in using AI. Some organizations, some of our clients have started to do this simultaneously, and that's one route, but the key is to learn what is best for your company in meeting your targets for responsible use of AI.
Okay. With the rapid adoption of AI, what emerging risks do you foresee for CX and EX over the next decade?
We have been talking a lot about IP and copyright related issues. For example, in this creative field, it's quite important to understand the kind of ownership that you want to have in the content that you own as a company, and to the copyright that you get to anything that is produced with AI. For example, thinking about synthetic voice or image generation, video generation tools, what kind of terms and conditions they have? Do they allow you to own fully the content that is being created? Or, for example, in tools like Midjourney, where they own the content and they also open it up freely for anybody to access. So I think that protecting your copyright and understanding also the kind of copyright that you have for the produced content is one thing. The second thing is these embedded AI features and components, where it's really hard to understand the AI value chain in the background, the data that was used to train the model that was used, and how responsibility and how responsible that setup is, what product there is, how it has been tailored to fit to this particular feature. So that's a big challenge. If that is blurred, you don't get to practice human oversight into how AI works because you don't understand how AI works in that specific component that you're using. So that's, and then also the sense of trust and also understanding that it's a different case of when you're working in a really creative business. Let's take an example of this recent Coca-Cola advertisement. There was a bunch of people who thought about, oh, that was so dull of Coca-Cola to create that beautiful, everybody has been waiting for this beautiful video, and then it was AI created, and there was a lot of discussion about whether it was not that creative and not that wow as a video. But then on the other hand, there has been like a really beautiful examples of this VR AI enabled advertisements, like the one in the forum that there was this Santa Claus jumping out from the forum building and helping the car, Coca-Cola car, to enter to the street. So in that creative space, there is a lot of freedom. But then, if you're working in a really traditional company, we all probably have experienced the discussions around Nordea using the six toe so baby in their picture. That was not that serious. But it they
Maybe
over.
just to explain to our foreign listeners, Nordea is one of the biggest banks in Finland, and they published a loan related ad where they had a baby who had six toes, and of course people cried out that this is artificially made, and why don't they tell about it? And actually it turned out that what ha had had happened there is that it's actually a baby who does have six toes, because it's some kind of rare, I don't know, disease that the baby happened to have. And it's according to Nordea's responsible ways of communicating things that they wanted to have this baby there. But I don't know if it was so much planned or whether it was just a coincidence
But
happening
I
there.
think it's just like it's like a good illustration of that you need to understand the industry that you're in, the kind of trust that you need to build with your customers. And using AI is one way of either building trust or breaking that trust. And for same people and creative company, using AI in a creative way is a way of building trust, because it enforces their image of that company as a really innovative and being there on top of technology development. But for another company, such as a big bank that has already experienced some difficulties in their applications, and people are a bit frustrated, can be sometimes about those things. So then, if you add on this question of using AI in their marketing, it might not be that might not create that image of trust. And so Yeah, I think that's one of the challenges of understanding your role and understanding how you're also being open and honest and using AI as a tool to build up your brand image, not to kind of like put damage to it.
Yeah. Well, we're approaching the end of this episode, but I would still want to ask you a few questions to close these ideas. Firstly, if you had to give one piece of advice to leaders focused on improving CX and EX with artificial intelligence, what would that be?
Set clear guidelines, understand the company that you are, the kind of context you're implementing AI to, and give people tools to really succeed in this. It means having access to AI literacy, trainings, knowledge bases, and ways how to build up that AI inventory and identify the risk level and manage the risks when it's needed. So empower people to use AI responsibly, basically.
Our series is very much focused on responsible AI in general as well. So, what's your one key takeaway you'd like to your our audience to remember about responsible AI?
So I think it's something that you can do with really concrete steps. So improving AI literacy, building up that AI inventory, having clear governance practices in place. So really like super concrete steps. And you asked previously about the collaboration with Microsoft. So the kind of like the direction where I see this whole AI governance field where it's going is about integrations and automations and making this as easy as possible. So my recommendation is also to trust the tools that enable integrating to your MLOps platforms, to the tools where you are developing AI yourself, and to integrating with Knowledge Graph to this knowledge bases that Sidot has, because I've seen companies have tried to do this in Excel, tried to do this in Confluence, tried to do this in manual ways, and it's a lot of work. So really like from the beginning, set really high bars to the level of automation that you're aiming to do so that you can build efficient practices that do not slow down innovation, but support faster time to market.
And lastly, can you share any resources for those looking to learn more about AI governance and responsible AI, please?
Yeah, sure. So if you go to Sidot's webpage and you go to get started with Sidot, at the end of that page, we have obviously a lot of frequently asked questions, but there is also a link to our help page. And in the help page, you can find information about industry's leading AI governance practices that are based on ISO standards and the kind of guidelines that also AI Act is giving to us. So if you want to learn about this risk management, compliance management, these methodologies, and also how Sidot is supporting that. So that's a great place to start your experimentation.
Very good. Thank you. We'll put that into the show notes down below. But hey, thank you so much now for joining us for this episode. It's been a great pleasure talking with you, and I believe we've got a lot of inspiration here to think of in relation to AI governance.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure to be here as your guest. Best of luck for the next episodes and looking forward to listening to them as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Bye-bye.
you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into the AI experience from basics to breakthroughs. We hope today's conversation sparked new ideas and insights on your AI journey. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe for more discussions with leading experts in AI, customer experience, and innovation. Join us next time as we continue to explore the transformative power of artificial intelligence.